Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are having a ball down here in the city of Benton Harbor, which is located in the state of Michigan. We have a EFM, an Emergency Financial Manager, who has gone wild. You, would you believe this? Now, listen to this closely. What has happened so far, Mr. Joseph Harris have canceled Constitutional Week. Never, never, never before in the history of mankind have anybody ever attempted to cancel Constitutional Week. Well, it simply tells us that you, as an American, don't believe in the Constitution. That's why today that we're having so many problems, so many issues at this time. I tell you, this thing is going mad. Nobody will believe this. You know, and it said, this is what I write about. It is our constitutional duty as American citizens to hold our elected official accountable for their actions, for the words, for the inaction of wrongdoing. We must draw the line and decide what to do if they cross that line. We must use our Constitution. Mr. Joseph Harris, has crossed that line. We had several commissioners who voted for the EFM to come to town until they realized that they was no longer able to function. This one commissioner, he jumped off their side and tried to jump on our side after he realized that now his cell phone has been taken. And you should hear him talk now, like he's been with us all along. And he actually right in the middle of something right now where he's trying to prove to the people that he's a changed man after he loses his cell phone. But just remember this, it is our constitutional duty as American citizens to hold our elected official accountable for their words, their action, inaction of wrongdoing. We the people, must draw the line and decide what to do if they cross that line. We must use our Constitution because that's the only thing we got. We have so many people who feel this. And in my eyesight, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet depreciate agitation want crops without plowing of the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of many waters. Power conceived nothing without a demand. It never did and it never will. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today one day down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan. At 11:08 p.m. for the state of Michigan killed Troy Davis. Just before he was executed, Troy maintained his innocence, urging people to dig deeper into the case to find the truth, and said, "For those about to take my life, may God have mercy on your soul. May God bless your soul." It is a tragic day for Troy, for his family, and for equality, fairness, and justice. It was a very, very, very tragic day for all of us. I have on the line, I have my two Hebrew brothers from California, Malik and Johanna. If I have messed up your name, you're going to have to forgive me. Let me talk to Malik first. Malik, are you there? Malik, are you there? Malik, you're not there? Malik.
Malak, how you doing?
Malak. Okay, well, forgive me. I can't pronounce all these Hebrew names. I just became a Hebrew brother. you can't expect miracles from me. I'm working on it. Would y'all forgive me for that?
No problem, brother.
Would you forgive me? Listen, I know that you are here today, and I just want you just tell the people a little bit about you and what you all about, and we'll go from there. Then we'll bring on my other Hebrew brother and let him say a few words, too. You go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, I would just like to first start off saying it's an honor being on your show, Mr. Pinckney. I had the pleasure of doing some work with this brother in Benton Harbor, and we did he has been showing me a whole lot. But I represent the Hebrew Business Group, and our organization is designed by the Most High himself. It's about us waking up our people in different areas and actually giving them their identity back. See, we have an identity crisis in America. The Negroes in America do not know who they are. If I ask you what language did you speak, you say, I don't know. I ask you what continent, what land you came from, you're going to say African American. That's two continents. I ask you what your nationality is again, you're going to say black. Black is a color, not a nationality. So what we seem to do is everybody have a Bible in their hand. But ain't nobody actually picking up the Bible and actually reading the Bible. If you read the Bible, for instance, if we went to Deuteronomy 28, I could show you that this whole Bible is talking about us. So if you went to Deuteronomy 28, your pastors, which go to theological schools, are taught to come back and teach us that we are not God's chosen people. See, the Most High has an actual bloodline, a seed of people that was being punished because of the disobedience of their forefathers. And they was actually sent on slave ships and was made slaves by the other nations. And it talks about this in the Bible. But our pastors today will not talk about this, but that's why this new generation is waking up, because we have to bring this out for all of the people to understand the true knowledge and understanding of this word. So I'm going to start at the end of the curses. Now we go to Deuteronomy 28:68. It says, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt. Egypt represents bondage, again with ships. So we came over here in ships. By the way, there have I spoken to thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies as bond men and bond women, and no man shall buy you. So that's after we came off the ships, we was going to be sold as male and female slaves. The word buy in the Hebrew is save or redeem. So nobody will be able to save you or redeem you out of that situation. Verse 47 and 48. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart and abundance of all things, therefore thou shalt serve thy enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and thirst and nakedness and want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. So there's no other people on the face of the earth who came on slave ships with yokes of iron upon their necks. So this is the actual identity that's in the word that's showing us who we are as a people. And so what we do in a Hebrew business group, it's not like an organization. It's an actual nation rising from all over the world. It's thousands of us waking up. And what we're doing is we're actually getting on the front line, going into our communities, going into our senators, going into our pastors, the people who stand up and say that they are leaders for us, and we making them either step down or do the work that they are supposed to do. And we coming and we going hard. We going hard. We going into the gangbangers and we shutting them down. We showing them their identity. If they knew who they were, the only reason why they're going around killing each other is because they have no identity. That's the worst thing you can do to any person is steal his identity. You walking around with amnesia. So if I walk up to you and say, brother, do you know that you're from the tribe of Judah, God's chosen people, and he wake up and realize that he is actually a king, he can't go and kill another king. So I'm talking from experience because I'm in the battle, and I actually go out there, and I see this the word of the Most High waking people up every single day. And so it's just a pleasure meeting Pastor Pinckney, because we was actually in Benton Harbor going church to church, speaking with all the pastors over there, and we actually ran into Pastor Pinckney, and I've been seeing so much work that he's been putting in, and so now I want to stand with this brother, and he can help me do the stuff that he was doing, and we can help him do the stuff that we're doing. And so it's a lot of stuff that we got planned right now, And one particular thing that I noticed in Benton Harbor, since it's such a small city, we walked into that city and we were seeing a lot of racism that's like, I mean, they just slapped you in your face, racist.
Absolutely. And, remember this, they're still burning crosses and hanging nooses in this city. Matter of fact, you was at the Barron County Commissioner meeting with me, and let's have my other Hebrew brother tone in on that. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, first I want to give all praise and honor to the Most High Yah, and I want to say thank you, Brother Pinkney, for having us on the show. Then I just want to say that what we've seen at this commissioner's office or this meeting was a tragedy. It was a shame that these type of things are still going on in our community, in this country, the United States. What happened was that they received so much money. I think it was, $8.6 million or $86
million? It was $14
million.
$14 million.
$14
million? Mm-hmm.
To go into the community, into our community, and make change. Benton Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And make changes and fix up the community. But none of those dollars are going into the community. And what we are planning on doing, and we're going to make a change, we're going to stop asking, and we're going to stand as a people, and we're going to make a change and start demanding change in our community. And we're going to start by doing boycotts. And we're going to shut down all these stores that are in our community that don't want to help our community, don't want to give back to the community that make them millions. So we're going to start off with McDonald's.
Mm. And you did a little research on McDonald's. And tell us what you found on the internet.
Well, what I found that Benton Harbor's McDonald's says that they donate $129.5 million back into the community. It's a lot of money, but we're not seeing any change.
No, but it's not true. It's just on the internet. They also say they donated money to the NAACP. We are the NAACP. They never donated a dime to us. But the point
That's
is,
correct.
this is what they've been doing for so long, and they've been lying to the people, like they've been doing stuff. They don't do anything for the residents here in Benton. As a matter of fact, this guy, Reverend Stein, went to that McDonald's, and he called me this morning, and he told me, he didn't even know that we was in the process of boycotting that McDonald's. But he told me, he said, I went to that McDonald's, what's wrong with them over there? He said, they racist? I said, well, you know they are. You in Benton Harbor. He said, well, I went there and we was going to talk about doing a fundraiser, but it didn't cost them no money. Yesterday was going to have people come in and buy stuff and so, and they would donate money to this organization. They said, no, you can't have nothing going on here. Nothing. They said, you can't do nothing. He said, well, it's designed to help your business. He said, no, thank you. And that's when he called me. You see, anything that happens in this community, they get on the phone and call me. They figure that Reverend Pinkney will handle the situation, in which we are. Because we was already talking about boycotting this McDonald's. There will be the first of many stores boycotting. But look, I'm going to let both of y'all have a couple of more words, then I got to bring in my other guests. And just go right ahead, because, Ralph, I'm bringing you in next after my brothers. Say whatever you want to say. I'm going to give both of y'all another minute to talk, and you can say whatever your heart desire.
Well, I just want to say this. We went over there to do a fundraiser with them, and they denied that. So we're going to go over there and boycott them. They didn't want us to come spend our money with them, so now we're going to stop spending our money with them. We're going to hit them where it hurts.
That's right. Right in the pocket. Malik, go ahead.
Hey, this brother Malak again.
Malak again. Okay, me and Malak and Malik. Well, help me out. You know I'm not a Rhodes Scholar. I didn't go to Cambridge or Oxford.
Yeah, I went. It's Malak. And
Malak.
So,
what
I wanted to bring out was, as we just heard Malcolm Martin Luther King speaking.
Yes.
And as we look back on our history and see the things that he was really effective with, was actually the boycott. That the boycott actually turned around for us. It turned in our favor because he shut the bus system down. So from the bus system sitting up there trying to make rules about us not being able to sit on front of the bus, when they shut them down and they start losing their money and their pockets start getting low, then that turned the bus company into going into the system fighting for us to be back in that bus. So if we look at our money that we spend in the community, we strive the whole community. The community can't survive without our dollars. And so if we take our dollars, this is the only power that we have right now. That and the Most High first.
That's
so
right.
We get with the Most High first, then we take the money out, and we start. If we stop going to McDonald's, McDonald's will be shut down.
That's
we
right.
Suffer so bad, they will be in. They will be calling Obama, telling them like, "What can we do for the Negroes?"
And so
this is what we're going to start doing in every city and every state. We organizing and we rising, and we're going to go in and we're going to demand what we need. And if they don't give us what we need, we're just going to start taking our money out, and we're going to start organizing business for ourselves, which we should be doing anyway. And so,
Absolutely. And so
that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Pastor Pigney.
Hey, you know, it's a pleasure, and I want y'all to know that we love you. But if you stay on the line, give us another 10, 15 minutes of your time, because I got to bring on my main man, Ralph Pointer, and he's out of New York, and I know he has something that he definitely want to say. Then I'm going to bring on Mary, who you got to listen to. Listen, Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney, as usual, listening in on the wonderful program you have of education. Food for thought, because when you gorge on food for thought, then it leads you to actions that we must take. And I hear the brothers have been thinking and listening and taking action, and that's what it is about. And we must I would like to continue on Martin Luther King and the bus boycott, because that led us to more education. The bus boycott led to the next thing, is that the companies had to give up on that racism of seating. But when we wanted to go to the next step, and everybody has to get this fact that is often left out, when they said, listen, we have all of our allies, we have the churches, the progressive people of all colors supporting us on the boycott, now let's buy the bus company. And that's when the alliance fell apart.
Wow.
That's where real power would be developed. Ownership of the bus company. And then suddenly the black Christians realized the white Christians weren't involved in that kind of Christian ethic. And they left them hanging. And if you go to Birmingham today, you will see a decimated community that doesn't have a proper transportation system, because when the blacks took it apart by not supporting it and they wanted to go to the next step of buying it and developing it and owning it, then there was another education. They're not with us there. So, yes, we have food for thought here, and Reverend Pinckney gives us food for thought every week. And as we get these thoughts together, we clamor for action. And this is what will bring us freedom. And I'd like to move on to what is, you know, when we talk about constitutional rights, what does that mean? That means the words that this nation was founded upon. But then we have to examine what this nation was founded upon. And when we look back to the Revolutionary War, when the Americans said, we're not going to be run by those guys at Oxford and Cambridge, we're going to have our own society, what was the impetus for that? Well, the impetus for that was those over there, it went to Oxford and Cambridge, Wilberforce and people like that who were working with the British government, were talking about ending the slave trade. And in this country, that was a no-no. It wasn't about tea. It was about the slave trade that they wanted to keep, and the British were merely talking about ending the slave trade. So then the Revolutionary War came about. And then let's fast forward to the Civil War. This noble when the South was fighting the North over slavery, and the South wanted to keep their slaves, that was a part of it. No, they wanted more. They wanted to keep their slaves, and the plan was to continue conquering Mexico. They had already taken Texas and California. They were going to go south into Mexico and conquer all of Mexico and build a massive slaveocracy. And this was what the war was about. This was their dream. This was where they were going. And when we see the death, the fast forward again to the death of Troy Davis, what does that mean? Were they killing Troy Davis? And I submit to you, no, 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 no. It just happened to be Troy Davis. Their intent was to imitate us or to intimidate us as a people. This was the practice of an oppressive government using collective guilt. That means it doesn't matter who did what. This means that they will kill whoever they decide, whoever gets in their crosshairs, to make the rest of us intimidated. It has been used over and over throughout history by oppressive people. We remember it was, I believe, 1944 in World War II before a German general who was shot because they said, you cannot do that. You cannot show that act of defiance because they will punish you collectively. And then we've seen it in the South with the lynchings, legal and illegal lynchings over and over again. They don't care whether it's the guilty person or not. As a matter of fact, in the Troy Davis case, a lot of people say they know who the guilty person was. The person who turned Troy in, who had a gun.
Absolutely.
They say he was the one. And Troy Davis never had a gun.
Let me ask you this. Do you realize that they got over 1 million signatures on that petition? Do you realize what they was telling the people? They was telling you, me, and my Hebrew brothers, and Mary, my wife, and all our listeners today. Everybody listen today. They telling you, you mean nothing to us. What you say means nothing.
Exactly.
I don't care what you say. We know he's innocent. He's going to die. Just
gonna
to prove
die.
A point to you.
And that is going to intimidate all of us, because no matter what we say, when we're in the crosshairs, we are to be executed, controlled by them. So
no,
we have to remember what that means. And this is why I love this program, getting on to listen to the process of education, to hear the brothers say, hey, boy, I learned this, I learned that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to hurt them. And so, Reverend, you thing, you know, bringing people on and educating, and I love being in this process of education, listening, learning, and participating in what we're going to do. And then, as my father used to say, what did you do?
Right.
And we must ask our whole nation. And then they've executed Troy Davis. And then what are we going to do? And I hear the brothers say they're going to keep their dollars in the pocket. And we have to be careful. And, Reverend, what is today, the 24th? And I say I'm still wondering, as you have been predicting, in just one more week, they're going to shut down welfare in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, 12,600 people. 12,600 people. Here's another catch. That does not include the men who are receiving food stamps. They are going to shut everybody down. But look, I got a couple of minutes, but I want you to talk about Lynn Stewart just for a second before I bring Mary on. So hit me with tell us a little bit about Lynn Stewart, because I want my Hebrew brothers to know who Lynn Stewart really is.
Yes, Lynn Stewart is a white woman who was the valedictorian of every class she was ever in. And she was born not 5 miles from Harlem, and she didn't know it existed as a 22-year-old when she came to Harlem to teach. And so, therefore, she felt betrayed, that she had learned everything that they had taught her, and she didn't know Harlem existed. And then this was 1962, and she got very much involved in the struggle for the liberation of black people with no shortcuts. Freedom meant freedom. And she didn't become a liberal. She became an activist, and she fought so hard for the rights of black people. She represented the revolutionary blacks who fought, the men of color who raised not only their voices, but raised weapons against this evil empire. And she was one who said clearly that she was involved as a very, what would you say, she was involved as a person of privilege, and she understood the struggle, armed struggle, for the freedom of black people, and this is what got her in big trouble. So Lynn Stewart is a white anti-imperialist freedom fighter. She's at the Carswell Federal Medical Center in Carswell in Fort Worth, Texas, and they are after her because of her historical position of understanding the condition of black people, and she was a lawyer. And she used to always say, when you get me as a lawyer, you hit the lottery twice. First, you get somebody who is going to represent you in this corrupt judicial system and represent you with first-class representation, and second, you're going to get political education. So if you get an opportunity to look up Lynne Stewart, Stewart, .org. You have everybody's listening in, is online. Look up LynneStewart.org, and you will see her mailing address in Fort Worth, Texas. And I'm not going to give it to you now because you can get this, LynneStewart.org, and write to her. Talk about your story. She will answer every letter because she understands, and she fought as an activist, as a teacher, and as a great lawyer, supporting people who did not have that kind of support before. And she's still with us, and she's still fighting for her freedom. They gave her 28 months. She defended the blind sheikh, who was a Muslim from Egypt, and many people didn't feel that he was deserving of proper defense. And they just lumped her whole history together and said she too must be a terrorist when she exposed the reality that the blind sheikh was not a terror and that the U.S. government was very much involved in all of these cases, in the Landmarks case, in the World Trade Center, in all of these so-called terrorist cases, using the same M.O. Over and over and over again, and fooling the people to say, just trust us. Allow us to take all of your freedoms and human rights away, and we will protect you. And Lynn Stewart says, protect us from who? And this made her dangerous, and she is in jail. So look up Lynn Stewart, 53504-054, FMC Carswell Federal Medical Center, P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. This is Lynn Stewart, white anti-imperialist freedom fighter imprisoned in jail. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Reverend.
And thank you, thank you, thank you, Ralph. I tell you, my heart goes out to Lynn Stewart. I love her, and we're going to continue to try to get her released. We're going to do whatever necessary to do it, because we have to let them know that it's time that we stop putting up or shedding up. On that note, let me bring in Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. Hello to you.
How you doing today?
Hello to the audience.
Absolutely.
I'm talking to you from Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Martin Luther King said, let freedom ring. And I want you to know that I am censored, I am stalked, and I was thrown for a loop when they killed my brother, Troy Davis. They killed Troy Anthony Davis. They murdered him right here in the state of Georgia. But I want you to know, Reverend, that the world has heard our plea. We have said for months now that you must boycott for justice. And the world has heard us, Reverend. The world knows now that they don't care about our plea. If they cared about our pleas, even the men's slaves, if they cared about our pleas, the white people wouldn't have been thrown overboard when they tried to get the lifeboats on the Titanic. If they cared about the working man's pleas, they wouldn't have all of our jobs going overseas into prisons. If they cared about petitions, Troy Davis would never have been murdered. If they cared about our pleas, they care nothing about our pleas, Reverend. They care about our money. So we got to learn to boycott for justice. And I want everybody to please go online and look for that article. That article and those videos that I put online months ago telling people that we must boycott for justice for Troy Davis. And if they had done that, if people had written and called and stopped shopping, Troy Davis would be alive. But you didn't do it in time to save Troy Davis. I beg you, do it in time to save yourself. I beg you, do it in time to save yourself. Now, let me tell you, the people are picketing Wall Street, and they are being arrested. They don't care if you're black or white. All they care is you're working class and they're rich, and they want you in jail. They want you in your places. They are arresting the picketers up on Wall Street right now. They killed Troy Davis just a few days ago. Now, I want you to look online, please, for an article I put up there to let you know why Troy Davis was murdered. It says, Troy Davis, murder theory. The same day that they murdered Troy Davis, here's what they said in their hearts. If our brother, white supremacist Lawrence Russell Brewer, must die for nothing more than killing an Ian, and you know what Ian is, then we're going to execute Troy Davis at Berry Day. Now, who was Lawrence Russell Brewer? He was a white supremacist in Texas who grabbed the brother, he and two other white supremacists, they grabbed the brother by his neck, okay, and they chained him behind a truck. And they drug him some 5 kilometers, with a 24-foot logging chain, and they drug him and they until his head and his arm came off. And then they threw his shredded body behind a black church and cemetery there in Texas. That's what happened in Jasper, Texas. That man was executed, and they don't want to execute white supremacists for dragging black men down the street and taking their head off. So to console the racists, they killed Troy Davis, an innocent black man, the same day. There are 365 days a year, aren't there, Reverend? Aren't there 365 days in every year? And they chose to kill Troy Davis and this white supremacist who snatched the black man. They did it the same day to show us, yes, we're going to go through with this execution of Lawrence Brewer, but we're going to fix you, black people. We are going to kill Troy Davis, your little hero, your little innocent man. In fact, we love it that he's innocent. That makes him more of a Christ-like figure. In other words, they gagged him like Jesus. Jesus didn't say a mumbling word as he went to the cross. Troy Davis was on a gag order, so he couldn't say a mumbling word for the last 2 or 3 years. Not only that, they know he's innocent just like you know it, but Jesus was innocent, and they executed Jesus. They beat him all night long, and then they hung him on an old rugged cross. Troy Davis, they tortured him. They told him he was going to die. Then they told him he was going to live. Then they put him back on the table and told him he was going to die. That's torture, and they meant to do it. But, hey, I'm telling you right now, Troy Davis's loved ones, that we love you, we love Troy Davis, we love justice, and we are going to boycott the state of Georgia. I ask everybody to pray for me because, as you know, I'm the one who's been telling you that we must boycott for justice. You listeners know that, and I'm sitting right here in Georgia. They follow me. They stop me. They have my phone under control. I want you to know what I did on the 21st of September. On the 21st of September, I went and served to the U.S. Attorney's Office a statement, intent to sue. Mary Neal, look online, Mary Neal versus USA. Please look online. Just type that in your Google browser. Mary Neal versus USA for racism, for conspiracy, and for terrorism. I filed the intent with the U.S. Attorney's Office the very day they intended to kill my brother, Troy Davis, because they already secretly arrested and murdered my own brother, Larry Neal. You can look online for wrongful death of Larry Neal. And these people that y'all got in office under one day where black people and white people will sit down at the same table. Now, that dream has come true. But the thing is, sir, that we got black people and white people sitting together at the table to oppose freedom. That's the table they're sitting at. They're sitting
at
the table to oppose freedom and to enslave black people and white people. We got them at the table together. But they are not on our side. Not the black ones we got in office and certainly not the white ones. They are not on your side. I don't care if you're white, black, or anything else. If you work in class and not the elite. And don't think you're elite if you got $100,000 a year either. You got to be in the billionaire club to be elite around here. Because that's where they are.
Don't put you there. Look at Tiger Woods. He found out he was black the hard way. And let me ask you this, Mary. Since you were right there where Troy was, how far do you live from where he was executed?
I could walk there where that man was executed, where the crowd were meeting about it. I'm in Stone Mountain, Georgia, which is a subdivision of Atlanta. Let me just say this, Robert. I want you to know that the leaders of the country that executed Troy Davis, they are arresting the Wall Street protesters. White people and black people across this land are joining hands now. We're getting together. We know what's happening. It's a corporate government, and they are against us. They want us as their slaves. But guess what? They got plenty of slaves now because we got worldwide, we got the new world order. They're threatening the U.S. economy, making us even with China, even with third world countries, and they don't really need Americans to work anymore.
No,
they're shipping the jobs
they
overseas. So they're doing the race the same way. Now, let me tell you what's happening. This week, on the 27th, they're all going to Colorado to hide in bunkers. Now, what they got planned for us on the 28th, I don't know. I hope there's nothing to that HAARP, HARP. Because did you know that President Obama, his family, NASA, Homeland Security, the head of Coca-Cola, and all those big computer companies, did you know that all of them are going to the bunkers in Colorado on the 27th of this month?
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. Let me give you the call numbers right now to look it up. It's about 20 big companies, the heads of all those big companies, plus the heads of government, are going to the Colorado bunkers on the 27th. Now, you got to ask yourself, what do they have coming that we don't know about? Now, we know that thalamine, some people call it Nibiru, that planet, N-I-B-R-U, is going to line up this week with Earth and with the sun for the first time in thousands of years. Now, they are headed to bunkers. I don't know whether it's about that or about some other dirty plan they got, but I'm going to give you the call numbers if you got their pencil in hand so that you can verify it. They are going to their bunker area.
Give us those call numbers right fast. After you do that, I want my Hebrew brothers, if they want to say something, they're welcome to say whatever their heart desire.
All right.
Either one. I don't care which one.
Okay, it's http://GOO.GL/ENGTY. That's http://GOO.GL/ENGTY. Now, they're hiding up, and there's not no few companies. I want you to know it's Obama, his family, all the officials, top people in the Homeland Security, NASA, all of them are going to Colorado together. That's never happened in the history of America. They're all going to Colorado where they got those big bunkers, and they've ordered there. It says that Obama, and I don't know whether that's been verified, but he's been ordered there, supposedly, by the military. So I advise everybody, if you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. And all these dirty, dirty, turncoat citizen police, I want to ask you, did they invite you to the bunker? All of you look dirty, dirty people who've been working against justice for your brothers and sisters. Are you going to the bunker? They leaving you out right here with us. And even if nothing happens, I want you to know that you are left out. You are with us. Whether you know it or not, they don't care anything about you. And if you are white and glad that Troy Davis died and cheering, I want you to know they don't care more about you than they do about Troy Davis.
That's right.
To look at the Titanic. The Titanic.
Yes.
They threw the whites overboard. They kept them from the lifeboat. They care nothing about the working class of any race. And please go online and look up Mary Neal versus USA and thank you for boycotting for justice.
That's
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, one of my Hebrew brothers, there, anything you want to say, go right ahead.
Hey. Let me see your mine ain't on. Hello.
Go right ahead.
Hey, I just want to ask you, sister, what was that URL?
Hey, we got an echo right there. You got to cut that echo off. Listen, one of y'all speak at a time. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to ask the sister. It's still an echo, huh?
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask the sister if she could repeat that URL.
Well, I want her to send it to me in an email too, Mary. Send it to me
sure
in
will.
An email.
Also, you can go to Google, and I say Google because Google censors less than other people. Go to Google and type in World Leaders, Colorado, and that should get you to the story. The world, it ain't just America. I want you to know the UN has cleared its calendar. Germany has cleared its calendar. The UK has cleared its calendar. They're all clear for next week, so they can go wherever their brothers are. Something is up. And the call letters, if you want me to give them to you one more time, I'll take them for a second, is http://GOO.GL/, and then put this in all caps, A-N-G-T-Y. That's A-N-G-T-Y. And I want you girls to pray for me, help me. I want you to know I'm down here in Georgia. Got the nerve to speak boycott on this state, and I'm in this state. They follow me everywhere I go. They are stalkers in homes around mine. They interfere with my computer. They tear it up every time I get one made. Look me up online, Mary Neal Censorship. Pray for me to Yah or God or Jesus or whatever you want to call him, because I know he's real. Praise God.
Yes. All right. Hey, on that note, I'm going to bring on Libby. Libby, are you there?
I'm here with some Benton Harbor news about the emergency manager.
Go
some
right
people
ahead.
Say Some people say emergency financial manager. I think the technical term is emergency manager, but because they can control
before
everything.
Before financial manager.
Not just finances, but
right.
Everything.
Now is everything.
Yeah. And this is from the website bhbanco.org, Benton Harbor Banco, that's bhbanco.org. Joseph Harris is Whirlpool Corporation's perfect stooge. No Constitution Week allowed and no complaints allowed by well-established businesses. That's the title. And then it goes on to say, Harris, emergency manager of Benton Harbor, recipient of a taxpayer-funded $131,000 yearly salary, has been more than willing to wield his emergency manager power with the greatest of ease since the expansion of PA4, it's a Michigan law. He can do absolutely anything he wants to do in Benton Harbor and has been doing just that with an extreme show of arrogant authority. As if to say, I'm king of the playground and residents better look out. Recently, he canceled Constitution Week with one brash statement in the commission meeting minutes. And he wrote this whole thing in capital letters. The following action taken or decision made by the City Commission was not authorized by the emergency manager and is null and void and of no force or effect. That's the end. City officials cannot hold a celebration of the Constitution. We know all other decisions they can no longer make according to PA4, but no Constitution Week? Well, we suppose Harris does not want a celebration of something that no longer applies to the people living in this city. He's the man, after all. He's not only taken the emergency manager ball and run with it, he won't even stop to throw a pass now and then. Harris is the evil stepfather in Benton Harbor. Here's another action he took which will only attract negative attention his way. Harris, also known as the Dictator, has been sparring with Benton Harbor's New Products Corporation, one of the city's oldest businesses. CEO Cheryl Miller asserts that a Harbor Shores bike path under construction encroaches on her company New Products property by about 5 feet for a length of 100 feet. Harris, Joseph Harris, the emergency manager, said that Cheryl Miller has no grounds to be complaining, that her complaining is the wrong thing to do, and that she will get an answer from him that she will not like. Harris is not known for his diplomacy, and that's the way Whirlpool likes it. Thanks to MSNBC for continuing to report on Benton Harbor, the bellwether for the rest of the country. Hopefully someday soon, MSNBC will gather the courage to report on the elephant in this story's living room, Whirlpool Corporation, the true boss, in the worst sense of the word, of Berrien County and Benton Harbor. The end.
Wow. That, you know what you just said, a whole mouthful. But listen, you know that a lot of people don't understand this, that Whirlpool is just one step away from being junk stock. They got a negative credit rating, which is so sensational that any day now there can be a hostile takeover of Whirlpool. See, that's what we can do when we work together. We can do some things. People all over the country are not buying Whirlpool products, not even internationally no more. See, you can't have a boycott of a global company just in the United States. It's got to be international, too. And I thank God that we are internationally known and everything else, because we got a group all over the world that supports us in what we're doing. And I tell you this much. We sit down, we let these people, these elected officials, we let them come in, we put them in office. Soon as they get in office, they switch horses right in the middle of the race. And then when they come back, so they, it favors them, then they want to act like they've been with us all the time. That's the only thing that makes me angry. I'm upset when they do stuff like that. And then they want to act like all the time, and then they're fighting all their hard out now. And they're like, oh, he's fighting for us. He's fighting for us. And all the time he was fighting for them, and now he want to come back on our side so we can reelect him or do something. I hate that stuff. But that's the only stuff that really makes me mad. But we have to show these people. Until we start showing these people that we're serious about what we're doing, they're going to continue doing the same way. In my eyesight, it does not make a difference whether you're black or white. If you do wrong, you need to answer for it. And that's what I believe in.
I'm going to change clothes because I got this shirt dirt.
Is that right? Anyhow, look, we got about 5 minutes. I'm gonna go to my Hebrew brother. Go ahead and knock off. You got a minute or so to say whatever your heart desires.
Then I'm
going to come back with you, Ralph.
Right on.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. I can hear you.
All right. Yeah, I just want to let the sister know that was on the phone that was in, I can hear her pain about Troy Davis, and I can let her know that his death will not be in vain, because sometimes the Most High has to arouse us in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
If we really truly knew who we were and the power that we had with what the Most High has created us to be, we are his chosen people, and this is why we go through all the things that we go through. And he is trying to arouse us. In the last days, if you read the Bible, we got to come back to his commandments. This is the only way for us to establish ourselves and get ourselves in line to where the Most High himself will give us the power to break down all of these barriers that's coming against us. And so this is what our job is in these last days. He's rising people up all over the face of the earth to stand up and keep his commandments, standing for him and his people, and we will come back. And so I'm just letting her know that we felt that pain too. And we felt like it was the biggest slap in the face that we ever seen. And so now it's a new generation rising up. And this new generation rising up, we fear nothing. We finna make, if you're supposed to be standing for us, you either go stand for us or you gonna sit down. Because
that's right.
You just ain't going to get no paycheck and just be sitting up there standing in a big old nice house acting like you're standing for us, but you ain't doing nothing
to
us.
Absolutely.
You hit the nail right on the head.
Go ahead. Go ahead, my Hebrew brother.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, so that's what our people do. And we rising up. You probably and what I also want to tell the sister that we got some brothers in that city, and I'm gonna try to hook them up with her, and I'm gonna have them stand with her so she can we can fight and we can shut down that whole system just like we're talking about right now. But it comes with us strategizing and organizing our people, and we have to get them all under one order, and that order got to be the Most High. If we ain't all under the same order, the Most High, it ain't gonna work.
That's right.
That's where we all been messing up at. Our true power comes from the Most High Himself.
Say it again. Hey, anyhow, my other Hebrew brother, you go ahead.
Nah, he's doing something right now. So.
All right, then. Well, let me go on to Ralph. Ralph, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity to connect and to educate our people. And our people, I mean all of the people of goodwill who are willing to work for justice. And I'd like to begin alerting people that Lynn Stewart's appeal is coming up soon. And whenever we find out the date and the place of it, I want to fill up that square, just like they did in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Yemen, and all around the world, to prove that we do not forget our political prisoners. They got their prisoners out. They closed the prisons. They opened up the security, the records of the security apparatus of their country. And I want to open up the records of the security apparatus of America to investigate Troy Davis and the other criminal acts that they've engaged in. And I'd like to free all of our political brothers behind the bars. But we must begin by showing that we can locate ourselves in a square, in a area that they are about to lynch somebody. They're about to re-lynch Lynn Stewart with her on her appeal. And I want people to begin thinking about showing up wherever they have that hearing, that appeal, the date and the time that I will announce the moment I hear it, where we can be there the night before and fill it up and get the tweeters and the people who use their cell phones to organize, to bring out the crowds, to let this country know, to duplicate and to go further than we did with Troy Davis because they executed him.
That's right. We must
make a greater effort to keep them.
And Ralph, we can do that. Larry, you got about 20 seconds. Say whatever you want, then I got to bring Mary on.
Thank you so much, Reverend. You're doing such a wonderful job at educating our people. And I still can't believe this. What's going to happen in terms of taking people off of welfare? I'm still shocked. And
it's
I will be waiting and listening for your word as to where we must go and what we must do to stop this.
All right. Go ahead, Mary. You got about a minute.
Okay, I just want to let everybody know that everything I tell you on the radio station is online. My name is Mary Neal, N-E-A-L. Go to my blog, Free Speak Blog. Look for Mary Neal versus USA and see why I filed that I am going to sue the USA. Exactly, I told them the day they killed Troy Davis. They are killing people. They are killing black people. They plan to kill Hank Skinner, who is a white man, who they will not give his DNA test. They don't care whether you're black or white. If you're working class, they do not care about you. I also want to say concerning this planet that's coming this way, this comet or whatever it is, you need to be ready for Jesus Christ. Okay, or whatever you want to call God, you need to be ready because these leaders ain't running to their bunkers for nothing. And so be ready because this week we either go on forward with our boycotts and take back America, or we will all meet the Lord in the air if you're ready. I don't know which one is going to happen, but please investigate for yourself and know that this has never happened before, that the governments of the world are recessing in the same week and they're meeting in bunkers. But if we do continue after this week, I want you to be sure to boycott the Johnny Cochran firm. They are nothing but Cornell Pro in the black community. Look online for Cochran Firm Ford, F-R-A-U-D. it is not Jenny Cochran's company. White people bought it, Southern whites, and they use their company to make fools of black people coast to coast. This is Mary Neal, N-E-A-L. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney, for being a genuine leader. We need more
you.
Like you.
God bless you. Go ahead, Libby.
Just don't forget Cynthia McKinney.
Yeah, that's
don't
October
forget
the 8th.
Yep.
October the 8th, Cynthia McKinney will be here. And I'm just going to close out and say this to everybody. It's time that we take off these gloves and get out here and deal with reality. Because we are all one step behind these barbed wire fence if we don't take a stand. It's time that we start boycotting, keeping our money in our pocket. That's the only thing they understand. Anytime you get that top 10% who controls this world, who controls the economy, if we start putting a damper on their pockets, then we can change things around here. Until that happens, things are going to continue just like they are. So here's my thing. We are planning on boycotting McDonald's. We're gonna give you an update on that. We're gonna let all my listeners know, and you can boycott the McDonald's in your area. But the reason why we're boycotting McDonald's here, one is Troy Davis to send a message to the big corporation. Two, because they do not give back to our community, and they claim they gave money to the NAACP. They have not given me a dime. They have not given the NAACP a dime. But we have to show them. It's time that we make them put up or shut up. It's time that we start doing the things that need to be done. It's time that we take this thing to a whole different level. I am sick and tired of these corporations taking over our community. Fascism. Anytime you have government and you have a corporation working against the people, you have fascism. And it's time that we take over the takeovers. We got to take over the takeovers. We got to take over the takeovers. Until we get that in our head, we're going to still be just spinning our wheels. And on that note, I'm going to have to say we have just ran out of time. God bless y'all. And to all the listeners, I want to thank y'all. You have really put us on the map. I don't know what we're doing so wonderful, so grateful, but whatever we are, we plan on keep doing it. I got Ralph Pointer, my really good friend, and I got Mary Neal, and I got my Hebrew brothers. And I tell you this much, y'all, we are here to stay.
Right on.
We are here to stay, and that's how it's going to be. Listen, everybody, have a real good week. I love y'all, and I will talk to y'all next week. Same time, same station. Talk to you later.
Good night.
Thank you, audience.